We gather in awe, expectancy, and at times bewilderment concerning God's transforming work in all creation. Welcome. Welcome visitors, regular attendees, those listening on podcast. Welcome to the worship of such a magnificent, soul-satisfying, transforming God as this. The God who in Jesus embodies our praise and whose spirit inspires our breath. God is here. Carolyn Smith will lead us in the gathering hymn, Sing the Journey number 2. Please stand.
Number 2 in Sing the Journey, please stand up to sing with us.
Today, we ask God to enlarge within us a love and care for all creation, including the spiritual lesson of trees. Basil the Great, who lived around 330 to 379, spoke of the desired humankind, quote, sense of fellowship with all living things, end of quote. So we gather to ask God to grant us the Holy One's reverence for life, lest we despise it, misuse it, or come callously to destroy it. Through the example of Jesus, we seek to save, serve, and sanctify life in the world God created and called good. Let us pray. Dear God, move our hearts with the calm, smooth flow of your grace. Let the river of your love run through the middle of this body gathered before you. May we be carried by the current of your love towards the wide, infinite ocean of heaven. Stretch out our hearts with your strength as you stretch out the trees, the hills, and the sky above the earth. For the fruitfulness by which you feed us and all creation, we give you thanks. For the leaves that are for the healing of the nations, we rejoice in your fathomless bounty. For all you ask us to do and be, give us a childlike love of you, which casts out all fear. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 46. Number 46, and I think we need to stand for this song as well. Number 46 in the blue hymnal. Turn in the purple Sing the Storybook to number 65. Number 65, and feel free to sing in whichever language you prefer, the Spanish verses or the English. I'm going to try Spanish, and I'd be happy for someone to help me with that.
Thank you.
Please rise as through prayer we confess our faith. Dear God, on our faith journey, when our heart is heavy and parched, send us a shower of mercy. When grace is lost from life, fling open the floodgates with a burst of song. When around us the din of too much overcomes us, come to us with your silence, peace, and rest. When desire blinds mind with delusion and dust, O Holy One, come with your light and cleansing word. O Lord, come, you are here. Comfort, empower, stretch us in faith, love, and hope. Amen. Receive this assurance. Dear ones, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us and forgives us our sins and guides us in faith through our Lord Jesus. Now let us share Christ's peace with the world. The peace of Christ be with you. Children, it's your turn for children's time.
Passing the basket. And what we put in the basket is, at this point, going to coins.
My coins count,
it's called. It used to be called Penny Power. Both catchy titles. If you don't have something to put in the basket, you can touch it in a blessing. All right, thank you. Today, the whole service has a theme. Did you notice there's a theme? We haven't talked about it very much yet. The theme is trees. Have you ever seen a tree before? Yeah? Have you seen a tree? Trees make very pretty artwork, and I'm here to show you this morning this book about a woman named Wangari Maathai, who lived in Kenya, and she became very famous because she loved trees. This is a picture of her as a very young girl, a drawing. Loving trees. And she saw that trees were being cut down too fast to be able to regrow in time for us to be able to keep enjoying trees. And the reason that she became famous for her love of trees is that she would gather groups of people to plant trees together. And I don't know the exact number, but I believe she planted and was responsible for planting over 1 million trees. And here she is. Planting trees, and this is a person that we can be like. It is a way to care for God's creation, and we are celebrating trees today. Today, when we go to bring the Bible back up to the front, we're going to wave branches of trees. And so let's go do that now.
Our scripture is, first scripture is Genesis 1, 9 to 12. And I think, Laura, we need a Spanish reader. Yes, please. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth, that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good.
Génesis capítulo 1, del 9 al 12. También dijo Dios, "Que se junten en un solo lugar las aguas que están debajo de los cielos, que se descubra lo seco." Y así fue. A lo seco Dios lo llamó tierra, y al conjunto de las aguas las llamó mares. Y vio Dios que era bueno. Después dijo Dios, "Que produzca la tierra hierba verde, hierba de semilla y árboles frutales sobre toda la tierra que den fruto según su género y cuya semilla esté en ellos." Y así fue. Y así la tierra produjo hierba verde, hierba que da semilla según su naturaleza y los árboles que den fruto según su género y cuya semilla está en ello, y vio Dios que era bueno.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations.
Apocalipsis 22, al 1 y 2. Después me mostró un río limpio de agua de vida. Era resplandeciente como el cristal y salía del trono de Dios y del Cordero, en medio de la calle de la ciudad, y cada lado del río estaba el árbol de la vida, el cual produce 12 frutos y da su fruto cada mes. Las hojas del árbol eran para la sanidad de las naciones. Palabra del Señor.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Just wait. Yesterday, at our leadership visioning retreat at Amigo Center, Pastor Francis led the closing meditation, which included the poem Song of the Maples, written by Sherry Miller Wagner, Indiana Poet Laureate, 2016 to 20, and 2017. It's on the occasion of the written on the occasion of the inauguration of Rebecca Stolzfus as president of Goshen College. Incidentally, Sherry is our niece, a 1980 graduate of Goshen College. Pastor Steve suggested the poem be read as part of this service, a service with the sermon title, The Glory of Trees in God's Creation. Marty Bender will read the Song of the Maples before we offer a prayer for the preacher.
Song of the Maples. Our seeds have wings the wind propels. See how each leaf unfolds, its map of roads radiating outward. We stretch toward light, yet trust the dark from which we sprout. The rich earth we clutch and query. What we reach for feeds us, becomes love, conveyed in concentric circles. Swelling from the heartwood, music flows through the flutes of our veins. Give us this day a coat of doves, a parliament of owls, and for a crown, 1,000 green prayer flags, shimmering in the rain, burning red or gold as we bow.
Let's pray. Dear God, bless the words of hope and healing you have placed on Pastor Steve's heart. Let your words stir in us a longing to care for ourselves, for all humankind, all creatures, all nature, all living things you have made and pronounced good. Hear our cry for care, our longing for truth, our hunger for peace, our search for righteousness that embraces all you have pronounced good today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
Before I sit down for the presentation that I want to make on the glory of trees in God's creation, I want to give this word of preface, that the image of the tree was chosen back, at least as far as I can see, back in 2011 as an image representing Prairie Street, its formation, its witness, its structure. And then last year at the Leadership Visioning Retreat, the image of the tree was chosen to be a guiding image for us during our transition. I happen to be an arborist, and I'm also a tree evangelist, and so I was especially excited that this image was chosen. So I'm happy to have us think this morning, to behold the glory of God manifest in trees as an invitation for us to take our place in creation in this ecosystem of South Central Elkhart. And so may these images speak to all of us. Long before human writing or even huts, the divine word was manifest in creation, God's great cathedral. To paraphrase Psalm 19, creation manifests the glory of God, and natural wonders proclaim divine handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. Trees are one of God's natural wonders that proclaim divine handiwork. They call to us, inviting us to raise our hands, praising our Creator, and to take our place in the world where God has planted us. From the first to the last chapters of the Bible, trees play an important part in creation. In the first chapter of Genesis that we've heard, we read that God called forth plants and trees of every kind, and God saw that it was good. In the second creation account, we read that out of the ground God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight, good for food, and the tree of life in the garden. This woodland garden represents what its creator intended on earth, beauty in abundance where trees nourish, enlighten, and give life with God. Then in the very last chapter of the Bible, we see that the tree of life again as a central part of the new earth. In the final vision of Revelation, we have the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In the end, those who are faithful eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. We're featuring trees, not the ocean. I appear to have a good connection. In the very last chapter of the Bible, we see the tree of life representing for us the tree of life and the paradise of God. While the symbolic tree of life was central in biblical faith, the two most important trees in biblical life were the cedar and the olive. The cedars of Lebanon were celebrated by many cultures in history. Frequent references in the Bible reveal how God's people use cedar trees for physical healing, worship, celebrations, construction materials for the famous temple in Jerusalem and palaces of David and Solomon because of their exceptional hardness, durability, color, and fragrance. Olive trees were sacred to Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans, and the most important tree to the Hebrews, the fruit of which went for food and olive oil for lamps, cooking ointment, ceremonial rites, perfumes, cosmetics, and healing. A Roman naturalist from the time of Jesus wrote of olive trees still producing fruit at ages of over 700 years old, referring to one that was over 1,600 years old. The tenacious olive tree has an amazing ability to survive in parched, dry ground and to regenerate itself after the trunk has been felled, giving rise to its reputation of being an immortal tree. Job probably had the tenacity of the olive tree in mind when he wrote, "For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease." Biblical references to gardens are not flower or vegetable gardens, but olive groves. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, an olive grove, for solitude and prayer. Knowing something of their nature, I wonder if Jesus was drawn to these before his death, and if the olive tree pointed to his immortality. While also a symbol for peace, it's tragic that during war, olive trees have long been targets for destruction to strike at the livelihood of people in Palestine. When I visited a Palestinian Christian outside Jerusalem, he told me how Israelis bulldozed his olive grove that had been passed down for generations as a way of trying to force him off his land. Trees have long been revered. We not only see this in our scripture, but in ancient mythologies, traditional arts, and other sacred writings. standing tall and mighty between heaven and earth, and with some living thousands of years, trees have seemed immortal. So it's no wonder that some people believe that trees were temples for the gods or dwelling places for divine spirits. From ancient times, people gathered for worship in groves of trees, which are often dark and mysterious, such as this enchanted oak grove called Wispens Wood in England, where druids met. When I was among old groves of majestic oaks in Ireland, I could imagine people being drawn to such places for spiritual activities described in Scripture. Where important events happened, trees were often used as memorials, as we see when Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba after making a covenant with Abimelech, or with Joshua placing a large stone for the Book of the Law under an oak tree. The Indian banyan tree, like the one I'm standing with, has been sacred to many Hindus and Buddhists throughout history. Tradition holds that the Buddha achieved enlightenment while meditating under a banyan tree. An amazing plant that outlives temples it overtops in Asia. Just before the birth of Jesus, a Roman senator wrote, "When you enter a grove peopled with ancient trees, higher than the ordinary, do not the stately shadows of the wood, the stillness of the place, strike you with the presence of a deity? Anchored in the ground with massive trunks stretching toward the sun, trees are the largest, longest living things in the world. They connect with the forces governing life, earth, water, air, and sun." Dr. Nalini Nacarni, a forest scientist and person of faith, says that trees have broad spiritual and symbolic importance because they're linked closely to spiritual concepts. Trees are seen as symbols or manifestations of divine knowledge, eternal life, or life renewal. Their form, with ground-bound roots and foliage, it reaches skyward, remind us of the connection between earth and the heavens. Trees epitomize the practice of prayer and meditation because of their stillness and silence. A wise woman once told me, "If we didn't have scripture, everything that we need to know has been revealed already in trees." Roots remind us of being radical, a word from the Latin radix, of the root. Below ground, roots draw up essential water and nutrients, anchor trees in the earth, and store energy during the dormant season. This speaks of our need to be rooted in what can't be seen for our life, growth, and fruitfulness. Not only are the roots suggestive, but the tree's symmetry is as well. As Anabaptist theologian Noel Mools observes, branches reaching high and visible above the ground are matched by roots spreading deep and hidden beneath the earth. This is an important picture of the biblical understanding of reality. For everything that makes up the visible world, there is a depth that is invisible. The visible is dependent on the invisible for its existence and meaning. Trees represent the standard for a strong, mature, and fruitful spiritual life. The first verses in Psalms illustrate this. What is a righteous person like? A fruitful tree planted by the water. Consider trees that proclaim God's glory. Trees that reveal God's amazing imagination and what the wisdom of Solomon calls the generative forces of creation. As I present some amazing trees, here's the one with the longest history, the prehistoric ginkgo. From 65 million years ago, this tree predates the dinosaur. Consider the oldest known living tree, the bristlecone pine, over 5,100 years old. This tree was standing before the great pyramids of Egypt were built and before Abraham and Sarah set out following God's call. What makes this even more amazing is that the bristlecone pine grows in a hostile environment at an elevation of 9 to 11,000 feet and must endure freezing temperatures, ferocious winds, and bare rocky ground. These adverse factors cause slow growth with hard, very dense, resinous wood that is extremely resistant to disease and insects, allowing them to live longer than any plant in the world. There's a lesson here about the conditions in life that form character in high AQ, that is adversity quotient, to endure hardships in life. Take a stroll through God's art gallery, as I did when I took these pictures of the bristlecone pine. Behold beautiful pieces formed by adversity and forces of nature. Another tree that endures incredibly adverse conditions is the honey mesquite tree, like the ones I photographed here in Death Valley, the hottest and driest place on Earth. While 134 degrees has been recorded in this desert, the day I took this picture, it was 122. With less than 2 inches of rainfall a year, how does this tree survive such intense heat and dry sand? By having very deep roots to draw water far below the subsoil. Roots reaching over 190 feet have been found on honey mesquite trees, a picture inviting us to be deeply rooted for our growth in difficult conditions. For the wonder of it all, who's the biggest of them all? General Sherman, a giant sequoia, its biggest in terms of trunk volume with over 630,000 board feet of wood. Enough for 119 miles of a 1x12 boards. If the tree trunk were placed on a 3-lane roadway, it would block all 12-feet lanes. A single branch that fell in a storm a few years ago was 6 feet in diameter and over 140 feet long, bigger by itself than any tree in Indiana. Who's the tallest of them all? Taller than a 37-story building, Hyperion, a coast redwood, is 379 feet and still growing. To put size into perspective, note the human at the base of this redwood. It's pretty amazing. The award for the widest trunk goes to a Montezuma cypress, 119 feet around and 38 feet across. But trees are not into competition. Here are a few simply being who they are, growing where they are, planted, singing for joy before God. From the tree, learn its lesson, said Jesus, being rooted and grounded, growing and reaching for the light, bearing flowers and fruit, a beautiful part in the chorus of creation. Let us respond to the call of God in creation. Let us get out to walk or sit and behold the glory of God. Be still in a forest. Breathe in the fresh, life-giving air. Witness the generative forces of creation. Look for what trees reveal. Listen to what they say. Feel their sturdy structure rooted in the earth. Smell their fragrance. Enjoy their fruit. Let us all at Prairie Street take our place like trees, wherever we are, offering life to others and glory to God. Amen.
Take your purple, sing the story, and turn to number 116. 116.